the river, but only for a second. 'Cause there he is, the current bringing him fast, coming down the river, in full view, looking right at us. The roar of the falls is loud enough to eat you, but I still hear it. I'd hear it if I was on the other side of the planet. Todd Hewitt! And he's reaching for his rifle. Go! I shout. Viola's feet hit the ground running, and I'm right behind her, heading for the lip of the road that goes down to the zigzags. It's 15 steps, maybe 20, till we can disappear over the edge. We run like we've spent the last 2 weeks resting, pound, pound, pound against the road. I check back over my shoulder to see Aaron try to take the rifle in one hand, try to balance it while keeping the boat steady. It's bouncing in the rapids, knocking him back and forth. He won't be able to, I yell to Viola. He can't row and fire at the same crack. A pop of mud flies up out of the road next to Viola's feet ahead of me. I cry out, and Viola cries out, and we both instinctively flinch down. Running faster and faster, pound, 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 run, 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 run. My noise chugs like a rocket, not looking back. 5 steps, run, run, 3, crack, and Viola falls. No! I shout, and she's falling over the lip of the road, tripping down the other side and crashing down in a roll. No! I shout again and leap after her, stumbling down the steep incline, pounding down to where she's rolling. No, not this, not now, not when we're, please, no! And she tumbles to some low shrubs at the side of the road and keeps going into them, and stops face down. And I'm racing toward her, and I'm barely in control of my own standing up, and I'm kneeling down already in the brush, and I'm grabbing her and rolling her over, and I'm looking for the blood and the shot, and I'm saying, no, 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 no. And I'm almost blinded by rage and despair and the false promise of hope and no, no, no. And she opens her eyes. She's opening her eyes, and she's grabbing me, and she's saying, I'm not hit. I'm not hit. You're not? I say, shaking her a little. You sure? I just fell, she says. I swear I felt the bullet fly right by my eyes and I fell. I'm not hurt. And I'm breathing heavy and heavy and heavy. Thank God, I say. Thank God. And the world spins and my noise whirls. And she's already getting to her feet and I'm up after her standing in the scrub and looking at the road around and below us. The falls are crashing over the cliff to our left and the twisting road is both behind us and in front of us as it starts doubling back on itself and making the steep zipper down to the bottom of the falls. It's a clear shot all the way. No trees. Just low scrub. He'll pick us off, Viola says, looking back up to the top of the road, to where we can't see Aaron. No doubt making his way to the river's edge, stomping through roaring water, walking on it for all I know. Todd Hewitt! We hear again. Faint over the roar of the water, but loud as the whole entire universe.
There's nowhere to hide, Viola says, looking around us and down. Not till we get to the bottom.
I'm looking around, too. The hillsides are too steep, the road too open, the areas between the road's double backs too shallow with shrubs. Nowhere to hide.
Todd Hewitt!
Viola points up.
We could get up to those trees on the top of the hill.
But it's too steep. I can already hear the hope failing in her voice, and I spin round, looking still, and then I see. A little faint trail, skinny as anything, hardly even there, leading away from the first turn of the road and toward the falls. It disappears after a few feet, but I follow it to where it might have gone, right to the cliffside, right down sharp to a place almost below the falls, right to a ledge that's almost hidden. A ledge underneath the waterfall itself. I take a few steps out of the scrub and back onto the road. The little trail disappears. So does the ledge.
What is it?
Viola asks. I go back into the scrub again.
There,
I say, pointing. Can you see it? She squints where I'm pointing. The falls are casting a little shadow on the ledge, darkening where the little trail ends.
You can see it from here, I say, but you can't see it from the road.
I look at her. We'll hide.
He'll hear you, she says. He'll come after us.
Not over this roar. Not if I don't shout in my noise. Her forehead creases, and she looks down at the road to Haven and up to where Aaron's gotta be coming any second.
We're so close, she says.
I take her arm and start pulling on it.
Come on. Just till he passes. Just till dark. With luck, he'll think we doubled back into the trees above.
If he finds us, we're trapped.
And if we run for the city, he shoots us.
I look in her eyes.
It's a chance.
It gives us a chance.
Todd, come with me.
I say, looking right into her as hard as I can, pouring out as much hope as I can muster.
Oh, never leave me.
I promise, I'll get you to Haven tonight. I squeeze her arm.
Oh, don't deceive me.
I promise you. She looks right back at me, listening to it all, and then gives a single, sharp nod, and we run to the little trail, and down to where it ends, and jump over the scrub to where it should continue, and...
Todd Hewitt!
He's almost to the falls. And we scrabble down a steep embankment next to the edge of the water, the steepness of the hill rearing above us, and slide down and over to the edge of the cliff, the fall straight ahead, and I get to the edge and I suddenly have to lean back into Viola because the drop goes straight down. She grabs onto my shirt and holds me up, and the water is smashing down right in front of us to the rocks below, and the ledge leading under it all is just there, needing to jump over emptiness to get to it.
I didn't see this part,
I say, Viola grabbing my waist to keep us from tumbling over.
Todd Hewitt!
He's close. He's so close.
Now or never, Todd,
she says in my ear. And she lets go of me. And I jump across. And I'm in the air. And the edge of the falls is shooting over my head. And I land. And I turn. And she's jumping after me. And I grab her and we fall backward onto the ledge together. And we lay there breathing and listening. And all we hear for a second is the roar of the water over us now. And then faint against it all.
Todd Hewitt!
And he suddenly sounds miles away. And Viola's on top of me, and I'm breathing heavy into her face, and she's breathing heavy into mine. And we're looking in each other's eyes, and it's too loud to hear my noise. After a second, she puts her hands on either side of me and pushes herself away. She looks up as she does, and her eyes go wide. I can just hear her say,
"Wow."
I roll away and look up.
Wow.
The ledge is more than just a little ledge. It carries on till it's back, way back under the waterfall. We're standing at the beginning of a tunnel with one wall made of rock and another made of pure fallen water, roaring past white and clean and so fast it looks almost solid.
Come on,
I say, and head on down the ledge, my shoes slipping and sliding under me. It's rocky and wet and slimy, and we lean as close as we can to the rock side, away from the thunder and water. The noise is just tremendous, all-consuming, like a real thing you could taste and touch. So loud, noise is obliterated. So loud, it's the quietest I've ever felt. We scramble on down the ledge under the falls, making our way over rocky bumps and little pools with green goop growing in them. There are roots, too, hanging down from the rocks above, belonging to who knows what kind of plant.
Do these look like steps to you?
Viola shouts, her voice small in the roar.
Todd Hewitt!
We hear from what sounds like a million miles away.
Is he finding us?
Viola asks.
I don't know,
I say.
I don't think so.
The cliff face isn't even, and the ledge curves round it as it stretches forward. We're both soaking wet, and the water is cold, and it's not easy grabbing onto the roots to keep our balance. Then the ledge suddenly drops down and widens out, carved steps becoming more obvious. It's almost a stairway down. Someone's been here before. We descend, the water thundering inches away from us. We get to the bottom.
Whoa,
Viola says behind me, and I just know she's looking up. The tunnel opens up abruptly, and the ledge widens at the same time to become a cavern made of water, the rocks stretching up way over our heads, the falls slamming down past them, and a wall curving way out like a moving, living sail, enclosing the wall and the shelf under our feet. But that's not the woe.
It's a church,
I say. It's a church. Someone has moved or carved rocks into four rows of simple pews with an aisle down the middle, all facing a taller rock, a pulpit. A pulpit with a flat surface which a preacher could stand on and preach, with a blazing white wall of water crashing down behind him. The morning sun lighting it up like a sheet of stars, filling the room with shimmering sparkles on every shiny wet surface. all the way back to a carved circle in the stone with two smaller carved circles orbiting it to one side. New World and its moons. The settlers' new home of hope and God's promise somehow painted a waterproof white and practically glowing on the rock wall, looking down and lighting up the church. The church underneath a waterfall.
"It's beautiful," Viola says.
"It's abandoned," I say, because after the first shock of finding a church, I see where a few of the pews have been knocked from their places and not replaced, and there's writing all over the walls, some of it carved in with tools, some of it written in the same waterproof paint as the New World carving, most of it nonsense. PM plus MA, and wills and chills forever, and abandon all hope, ye who something something.
"It's kids," Viola says, "sneaking in here, making it their own place."
"Yeah? Do kids do that?"
"Back on the ship, we had an unused venting duct that we snuck into," she says, looking around. "Marked it up worse than this."
We wander in, looking around us, mouths open. The point of the roof where the water leaves the cliff must be a good 30 feet above us, and the ledge 15 feet wide, easy.
"It must have been a natural cavern," I say. "They must have found it and thought it was some kind of miracle."
Viola crosses her arms against herself.
"And then they found it wasn't very practical as a church."
"Too wet," I say. "Too cold."
"I'll bet it was when they first landed," she says, looking up at the white new world. "I'll bet it was in the first year. Everything hopeful and new."
She turns around, taking it all in.
"Before reality set in."
I turn slowly, too. I can see exactly what they were thinking. The way the sun hits the falls, turning everything bright white. And it's so loud and so silent at the same time that even without the pulpit and the pews, it would have felt like we'd somehow walked into a church anyway. Like it'd be holy even if no man had ever seen it. And then I notice that at the end of the pews, there's nothing beyond. It stops, and it's a 150-foot drop to the rocks below. So this is where we're going to have to wait. This is where we're going to have to hope. In the church underwater.
"Todd Hewitt!"
Barely drifts in down the tunnel to us. Viola visibly shivers.
"What do we do now?"
"We wait till nightfall," I say. "Sneak out and hope he don't see us." I sit down on one of the stone benches. Viola sits down next to me. She lifts the bag over her head and sets it on the stone floor.
"What if he finds the trail?"
she asks. "We hope he don't."
"But what if he does?"
I reach behind me and take out the knife. The knife. Both of us look at it, the white water reflecting off of it, droplets of spray already catching and pooling on its blade, making it shine like a little flashlight. The knife. We don't say nothing about it. Just watch it gleam in the middle of the church.
"Todd Hewitt!"
Viola looks up to the entrance and puts her hands to her face, and I can see her clench her teeth.
"What does he even want?"
she suddenly rages.
"If the army's all about you, what does he want with me? Why was he shooting at me? I don't understand it."
"Crazy people don't need an explanation for nothing," I say. But my noise is remembering the sacrifice that I saw him making of her way back in the swamp. The sign, he called her. A gift from God. I don't know if Viola hears this, or if she remembers it herself, because she says,
"I don't think I'm the sacrifice."
"What?" She turns to me, her face perplexed.
"I don't think it's me," she says. "He kept me asleep almost the entire time I was with him, and when I did wake up, I kept seeing confusing things in his noise. Things that didn't make sense."
"He's crazy," I say. "Crazier than most." She don't say nothing more. Just looks out into the waterfall. And reaches over and takes my hand.
"Todd Hewitt!"
I feel her hand jump right as my heart leaps.
"That's closer,"
she says.
"He's getting closer."
"He won't find us."
"He will."
"Then we'll deal with it." We both look at the knife.
"Todd Hewitt!"
"He's found it,"
she says, grabbing my arm and squeezing into me.
"Not yet." We were almost there, she says, her voice high and breaking a little. Almost there!
We'll get there.
Todd Hewitt!
And it's definitely louder. He's found the tunnel. I grip my knife, and I look over at Viola, her face looking straight back up the tunnel. So much fear on it, my chest begins to hurt. I grip the knife harder. If he touches her. And my noise reels back to the start of our journey, to Viola before she said anything, to Viola when she told me her name, to Viola when she talked to Hildy and Tam, to when she took on Wilf's accent, to when Aaron grabbed her and stole her away, to waking up to her in Dr. Snow's house, to her promise to Ben, to when she took on my ma's voice and made the whole world change, just for a little while. All the things we've been through. How she cried when we left Manchi behind, telling me I was all she had. When I found out I could read her, silence or not. When I thought Aaron had shot her on the road, how I felt in those few terrible seconds. How it would feel to lose her. The pain and the unfairness and the injustice. The rage. And how I wished it was me. I look at the knife in my hand, and I realize she's right. I realize what's been right all along. As insane as it is, she's not the sacrifice. She's not. If one of us falls, we all fall. I'll know what he wants, I say, standing up.
What?
Viola says.
Todd Hewitt!
Definitely coming down the tunnel now. Nowhere to run. He's coming. She stands, too, and I move myself twixt her and the tunnel. Get down behind one of the pews, I say. Hide.
Todd.
I move away from her, my hands staying on her arm till I'm too far away.
Where are you going?
She says, her voice tightening. I look back the way we came, up the tunnel of water. He'll be here any second.
Todd Hewitt!
He'll see you,
she says. I hold up the knife in front of me. The knife that's caused so much trouble. The knife that holds so much power.
Todd!
Viola says.
What are you doing?
I turn to her. He won't hurt you, I say. Not when he knows I know what he wants.
What does he want?
I search her out, standing among the pews, the white planet and moons glowing down on her, the water shining watery light over her. I search out her face and the language of her body as she stands there watching me, and I find I still know who she is, that she's still Viola Ede, that silent don't mean empty, that it never meant empty. I look right into her eyes. I'm gonna greet him like a man, I say, and even though it's too loud for her to hear my noise, even though she can't read my thoughts, she looks back at me, and I see her understand. She pulls herself up a little taller.
I'm not hiding, she says. If you're not, I'm not.
And that's all I need. I nod. Ready? I ask. She looks at me. She nods once firmly. I turn back to the tunnel. I close my eyes. I take a deep breath. And with every bit of air in my lungs and every last note of noise in my head, I rear up. And I shout as loud as I can,
Aaron!
And I open my eyes, and I wait for him to come. 41. If one of us falls. I see his feet first, slipping down the steps some, but not hurrying, taking his time now that he knows we're here. I hold the knife in my right hand, my left hand out and ready too. I stand in the aisle of the little pews, as much in the center of the church as I can get. Viola's back behind me a bit, down one of the rows. I'm ready. I realize I am ready. Everything that's happened has brought me here, to this place, with this knife in my hand, and something worth saving. Someone. And if it's a choice twixt her and him, there is no choice, and the army can go F itself. And so I'm ready, as I'll ever be. 'Cause I know what he wants. Come on, I say under my breath. Aaron's legs appear, then his arms, one carrying the rifle, the other holding his balance against the wall, and then his face, his terrible, terrible face, half torn away, the gash in his cheek showing his teeth, the hole where his nose used to be open and gaping, making him look barely human. and he's smiling, which is when I feel all the fear.
Todd Hewitt,
he says, almost as a greeting. I raise my voice over the water, willing it not to shake.
You can put the rifle down, Aaron.
Oh, can I now?
He says, his eyes widening, taking in Viola behind me. I don't look back at her, but I know she's facing Aaron. I know she's giving him all the bravery she's got. And that makes me stronger.
I know what you want, I say. I figured it out.
Have you, young Todd?
Aaron says, and I see he can't help himself. He looks into my noise, the little he can hear over the roar.
She's not the sacrifice, I say.
He says nothing, just takes the first steps into the church, eyes glancing up at the cross and the pews and the pulpit.
And I'm not the sacrifice neither, I say.
His evil smile draws wider. A new tear opens up at the edge of his gash, blood waving down it in the spray.
A clever mind is a friend of the devil,
he says, which I think is his way of saying I'm right. I steady my feet and turn with him as he steps round toward the pulpit half of the church, the half nearer the edge.
It's you, I say. The sacrifice is you.
And I open my noise as loud as it'll go so that both he and Viola can see I'm telling the truth. 'Cause the thing Ben showed me back when I left our farm, the way that a boy in Prentistown becomes a man, the reason that boys who've become men don't talk to boys who are still boys, the reason that boys who've become men are complicit in the crimes of Prentistown is, it's, and I make myself say it, it's by killing another man, all by themselves. All those men who disappeared, who tried to disappear. They didn't disappear after all. Mr. Royal, my old school teacher, who took to whiskey and shot himself, didn't shoot himself. He was shot by Seb Mundy on his 13th birthday, made to stand alone and pull the trigger as the rest of the men of Prentistown watched. Mr. Galt, whose sheep flock we took over when he disappeared 2 winters ago, only tried to disappear. He was found by Mayor Prentice running away through the swamp, and Mayor Prentice was true to his agreement with the law of New World and executed him. Only he did it by waiting till Mr. Prentice Jr.'s 13th birthday and having his son torture Mr. Galt to death without the help of no one else. And so on and so on. Men I knew killed by boys I knew to become men theirselves. If the mayor's men had a captured escapee hidden away for a boy's 13th, then fine. If not, they just take someone from Prentistown who they didn't like and say he disappeared. One man's life was given over to a boy to end, all on his own. A man dies. A man is born. Everyone complicit. Everyone guilty. Except me.
Oh, my God,
I hear Viola say.
But I was going to be different, wasn't I?
I say.
You were the last, Todd Hewitt,
Aaron says.
The final soldier in God's perfect army.
I don't think God's got nothing to do with your army, I say. Put down the rifle. I know what I have to do.
But are you a messenger, Todd?
He asks, cocking his head, pulling his impossible smile wider.
Or are you a deceiver?
Read me, I say. Read me if you don't believe I can do it.
He's at the pulpit now, facing me down the center aisle, reaching out his noise over the sound of the falls, pushing it toward me, grabbing at what he can, and
the sacrifice, and God's perfect work, and the martyrdom of the saint, I hear. Perhaps, young Todd, he says,
and he sets the rifle down on the pulpit. I swallow and grip the knife harder. But he looks over at Viola and laughs a little laugh.
No, he says. Little girls will try to take advantage, won't they?
And, almost casually, he tosses the rifle off the ledge into the waterfall. It goes so fast, we don't even see it disappear. But it's gone. And so there's just me and Aaron. And the knife. He opens his arms and I realize he's assuming his preacher's pose, the one from his own pulpit back in Prentistown. He leans against the pulpit stone here and holds his palms up and raises his eyes to the white shining roof of water above us. His lips move silently. He's praying.
"You're crazy," I say.
He looks at me.
"I'm blessed."
"You want me to kill you? Wrong,
Todd Hewitt,"
he says, taking a step forward down the aisle toward me.
"Hate is the key. Hate is the driver. Hate is the fire that purifies the soldier. The soldier must hate."
He takes another step.
"I don't want you to kill me," he says. "I want you to murder me."
I take a step back. The smile flickers.
"Perhaps the boy promises bigger than he can deliver."
"Why?"
I say, stepping back some more. Viola moves back too, behind and around me, underneath the carving of New World.
"Why are you doing this? What possible sense does this make?"
"God has told me my path," he says.
"I've been here for almost 13 years, I say, "and the only thing I ever heard was men."
"God works through men," Aaron says.
"So does evil," Viola says.
"Ah," Aaron says. "It speaks. Words of temptation to love."
"Shut up," I say. "Don't you talk to her."
I'm past the back row of pews now. I move to my right. Aaron follows till we're moving in a slow circle. Aaron's hands still out. My knife still up. Viola keeping behind me. The spray covering everything. The room slowly turns around us. The ledge still slippery. The wall of water shining white with the sun. And the roar. The constant roar.
"You were the final test," Aaron says. "The last boy. The one that completes us. With you in the army, there's no weak link. We would be truly blessed. If one of us falls, we all fall, Todd. And all of us have to fall."
He clenches his fists and looks up again.
"So we can be reborn. So we can take this cursed world and remake it in..."
"I wouldn't have done it,"
I say, and he scowls at the interruption.
"I wouldn't have killed anyone."
"Ah, yes, Todd Hewitt," Aaron says. "And that's why you're so very, very special, ain't you? The boy who can't kill."
I sneak a glance back at Viola, off to my side a little. We're still going round in the little circle. And Viola and I are reaching the side with a tunnel in it.
"But God demands a sacrifice," Aaron says. "God demands a martyr. And who better for the special boy to kill than God's very own mouthpiece?"
"I don't think God tells you nothing," I say, "though I can believe he wants you dead."
Aaron's eyes go so crazy and empty, I get a chill.
"I'll be a saint," he says, a small fire burning in his voice. "It is my destiny."
He's reached the end of the aisle and is following us past the last row of benches. Viola and I are backing up still, almost to the tunnel.
"But how to motivate the boy?"
Aaron continues, eyes like holes.
"How to bring him into manhood?"
And his noise opens up to me, loud as thunder. My eyes widen. My stomach sinks to my feet. My shoulders hunch down as I feel weakness on me. I can see it. It's a fantasy, a lie, but the lies of men are as vivid as their truths, and I can see every bit of it. He was going to murder Ben. That's how he was going to force me to kill him. That's how they would have done it. To perfect their army and make me a killer, they were going to murder Ben. And make me watch. Make me hate enough to kill Aaron. My noise starts to rumble loud enough to hear.
"You effing piece of..." "But then God sent a sign,"
Aaron says, looking at Viola, his eyes even wider now, the blood pouring from the gash, the hole where his nose used to be stretching taut.
"The girl," he says, "a gift from the heavens."
"Don't you look at her!"
I yell.
"Don't you even look at her!"
Aaron turns back to me, the smile still there.
"Yes, Todd, yes," he says. "That's your path. That's the path you'll take. The boy with the soft heart, the boy who couldn't kill. What would he kill for? Who would he protect?"
Another step back. Another step nearer the tunnel.
And when her cursed evil silence polluted our swamp, I thought God had sent me a sacrifice to make myself one last example of the evil that hides itself, which I could destroy and purify.
He cocks his head.
But then her true purpose was revealed.
He looks at her and back at me.
Todd Hewitt would protect the helpless.
She ain't helpless, I say.
And then you ran.
Aaron's eyes widen as if in false amazement.
You ran rather than fulfill your destiny.
He lifts his eyes to the church again,
thereby making victory over you all the sweeter.
You ain't won yet, I say.
Haven't I?
He smiles again.
Come, Todd. Come to me with hate in your heart.
I will, I say. I'll do it.
But another step back.
You've been near before, young Todd, Aaron says. In the swamp, the knife raised, me killing the girl, but no, you hesitate. You injure, but you do not kill. And then I steal her from you and you hunt her down as I knew you would, suffering from the wound I gave you, but again, not enough. You sacrifice your beloved dog rather than see her come to harm. You let me break his very body rather than serve your true purpose.
You shut up, I say.
He holds his palms up to me.
Here I am, Todd, he says. Fulfill your purpose. Become a man.
He lowers his head till his eyes are looking up at me.
Fall.
I curl my lip. I stand up straighter.
I already am a man,
I say, and my noise says it too. He stares at me, as if staring through me. And then he sighs, like he's disappointed.
Not yet a man, he says, his face changing. Perhaps not ever.
I don't step back.
Pity, he says,
and he leaps at me.
Todd!
Viley yells.
Run!
I scream, but I'm not stepping back. I'm moving forward, and the fight is on. I'm charging at him, and he's throwing himself at me, and I'm holding the knife, but at the last second, I leap to the side, letting him slam hard into the wall. He whirls around, facing a snarl, swinging an arm round to hit me, and I duck and slash at it with the knife, cutting across his forearm, and it don't even slow him down. And he's swinging at me with his other arm, and he's catching me just under the jaw, knocking me back.
Todd!
Viola calls again. I tumble backward onto the last pew, falling hard, but I'm looking up. Aaron's turning to Viola. She's at the bottom of the stairs.
Go!
I yell, but she's got a big flat stone in her hands, and launches it at Aaron with a grimace and an angry grunt, and he ducks and tries to deflect it with one hand, but it catches him across the forehead, causing him to stumble away from both her and me, toward the ledge, toward the front of the church.
Come on!
Viola yells at me. I scramble to my feet, but Aaron's turned too, blood running down his face, his mouth open in a yell. He jumps forward like a spider, grabbing Viola's right arm. She punches fiercely with her left hand, bloodying it on his face, but he don't let go. I'm yelling as I fly at them, knife out. But again, I turn it at the last minute, and I just knock into him. And we land on the upslope of the stairs, Viola falling back, me on top of Aaron, his arms boxing my head, and he reaches forward with his horrible face and takes a bite out of an exposed area on my neck. I yell and jerk back, punching him with a backhand as I go, scooting away from him back into the church, holding my neck. He comes at me again, his fist flying forward, catching me on the eye. My head jerks back. I stumble through the rows of pews, back to the center of the church, another punch. I raise my knife hand to block it, but keep the knife edge sideways, and he hits me again. I scrabble away from him on the wet stone, up the aisle toward the pulpit, and a third time his fist reaches my face, and I feel two teeth tear out of their roots, and I nearly fall, and then I do fall, my back and head hitting the pulpit stone, and I drop the knife. It clatters away toward the edge, useless as ever.
Your noise reveals you!
Aaron screams.
Your noise reveals you!
He's stepping forward to me now, standing over me.
From the moment I stepped into this sacred place, I knew it would be thus.
He stops at my feet, staring down at me, his fists clenched and bloody with my blood, his face bloody with his own.
You will never be a man, Todd Hewitt. Never.
I see Viola out of the corner of my eye, frantically looking for more rocks.
I'm already a man,
I say, but I've fallen. I've dropped the knife. My voice is faltering, my hand over the bleeding from my neck.
You rob me of my sacrifice!
His eyes have turned to burning diamonds, his noise blazing a red so fierce it's practically steaming the water away from him.
I will kill you.
He bows his head to me.
And you will die knowing that I killed her slowly.
I clench my teeth. I start to pull myself to my ruddy feet.
Come on if you're coming,
I growl. Aaron yells and takes a step toward me, hand reaching out for me, my face rising to meet him, and Viola clumps him on the side of the head with a rock she can barely lift. He stumbles, leaning toward the pews and catching himself, and he stumbles again, but he doesn't fall.
He doesn't ruddy fall.
He staggers, but he stands twixt me and Viola, uncurling himself, his back to Viola but towering over her. A whole rivulet of blood spouting from the side of his head now,
but he's effing well tall as a nightmare.
He really is a monster.
You ain't human,
I say.
I have told you, young Todd,
he says, his voice low and monstrous, his noise glowering at me with a fury so pure it nearly knocks me back.
I am a saint.
He lashes his arm out in Viola's direction without even looking away, catching her square on the eye, knocking her back as she calls out and falls, tripping over a pew, hitting her head hard on the rocks, and not rising.
Viola!
I yell, and I leap past him. He lets me go. I reach her. Her legs are up on the stone bench, her head's on the stone floor, a little stream of blood running from it.
Viola!
I say, and I lift her. And her head falls back.
Viola!
I yell, and I hear a low rumble from behind me. Laughter.
He's laughing. You were always going to betray her, he says. It was foreseen. You shut up! And do you know why? I'll kill you!
He lowers his voice to a whisper, but a whisper I can feel shiver through my entire body.
You've already fallen.
And my noise blazes red. Redder than it's ever been.
Murderous red. Yes, Todd.
Aaron hisses.
Yes, that's the way.
I lay Viola gently down and I stand to face him. And my hate is so big, it fills the cavern.
Come on, boy, he says. Purify yourself.
I look at the knife. Resting in a puddle of water, near the ledge by the pulpit behind Aaron, where I dropped it. I hear it calling to me. Take me, it says. Take me and use me, it says. Aaron holds open his arms.
Murder me, he says. Become a man.
Never let me go, says the knife. I'm sorry, I whisper under my breath, though I don't know who to or what for. I'm sorry. And I leap. Aaron doesn't move, arms open as if to embrace me. I barrel into him with my shoulder. He doesn't resist. My noise screams red. We fall past the pulpit to the ledge. I'm on top of him. He still doesn't resist. I punch his face, over and over and over, breaking it further, breaking it into bloody, messy pieces, hate pouring out of me through my fists. And still I pound him. Still I hit. Through the breaking of bone and the snapping of gristle and an eye crushed under my knuckles till I can no longer feel my hands, and still I hit, and his blood spills on me and over, and the red of it matches the red of my noise, and then I lean back still on him, covered in his blood, and he's laughing still, and he's gurgling,
yes,
through broken teeth,
yes,
and the red rises in me, and I can't hold it back. And the hate, and I look over at the knife just a few feet away, on the ledge, by the pulpit, calling for me, calling,
And this time I know. This time I know. I'm going to use it. And I jump for it, my hand outstretched, my noise so red I can barely see. Yes, says the knife. Yes. Take me. Take the power in your hand. But another hand is there first. Viola. And as I fall toward it, there's a rush in me. A rush in my noise. A rush from seeing her there. From seeing her alive. A rush that rises higher than the red. And, Viola, I say. Just, Viola. And she picks up the knife. My momentum is tumbling me toward the edge, and I'm turning to try and catch myself. And I can see her lifting the knife, and I can see her stepping forward, and I'm falling into the ledge, and my fingers are slipping on wet stone, and I can see Aaron sitting up, and he's only got one eye now, and it's staring at Viola, and she's raising the knife, and she's bringing it forward, and I can't stop her, and Aaron is trying to rise, and Viola's moving toward him, and I'm hitting the ledge with my shoulder and stopping just short of falling over, and I'm watching, and what's left of Aaron's noise is radiating anger and fear, and it's saying no. It's saying, not you. And Viola's raising her arm, raising the knife, and bringing it down, and down, and down, and plunging it straight into the side of Aaron's neck. So hard the point comes out the other side, and there's a crunch. A crunch I remember. Aaron falls over from the force of it, and Viola lets go of the knife. She steps back. Her face is white. I can hear her breathing over the roar. I lift myself with my hands, and we watch. Aaron's pushing himself up. He's pushing himself up, one hand clawing at the knife, but it stays in his neck. His remaining eye is wide open, his tongue lolling out of his mouth. He gets to his knees, and then to his feet. Viola cries out a little and steps back. Steps back till she's next to me. We can hear him trying to swallow, trying to breathe. He steps forward but stumbles against the pulpit. He looks our way. His tongue swells and writhes. He's trying to say something. He's trying to say something to me. He's trying to make a word, but he can't. He can't. His noise is just wild colors and pictures and things I won't ever be able to say. He catches my eye, and his noise stops. Completely stops. At last. And gravity takes his body, and he slumps sideways. Away from the pulpit, and over the edge, and disappears under the wall of water, taking the knife with him. 42. Last Road to Haven. Viola sits down next to me, so hard and fast, it's like she fell there. She's breathing heavy, and staring into the space where Aaron was. The sunlight through the falls casts waves of watery light over her face, but that's the only thing on it that moves. Viola, I say, leaping up into a squat next to her. He's gone, she says. Yeah, I say. He's gone. And she just breathes. My noise is rattling like a crashing spaceship full of reds and whites and things so different, it's like my head is being pulled apart. I would have done it. I would have done it for her. But instead, I would have done it, I say. I was ready to do it. She looks at me, her eyes wide. Todd? I would have killed him myself. I find my voice rising a little. I was ready to do it. And then her chin starts shaking, not as if she's going to cry, but actually shaking. And then her shoulders, too, and her eyes are getting wider, and she's shaking harder. And nothing leaves my noise, and it's all still there, but something else enters it, and it's for her. And I grab her and hold her to me, and we rock back and forth for a while so she can just shake all she wants to. She don't speak for a long time, just makes little moaning sounds in her throat. And I remember just after I killed the spackle, how I could feel the crunch running down my arm, how I could keep seeing his blood, how I saw him die again and again, how I do still. But I woulda. I was ready. But the knife is gone. Killing someone ain't nothing like it is in stories, I say, into the top of her head. Ain't nothing at all. But I woulda. She's still shaking, and we're still right next to a raging, roaring waterfall, and the sun's higher in the sky, and there's less light in the church, and we're wet and bloody and bloody and wet, and cold and shaken. Come on, I say, making to stand. First thing we need to do is get dry, okay? I get her to her feet. I go get the bag, still on the floor, twixt two pews, and go back to her and hold out my hand. The sun is up, I say. It'll be warm outside. She looks at my hand for a minute before taking it. But she takes it. We make our way round the pulpit, unable to keep from looking where Aaron was, his blood already washed away by the spray. I would have done it, but the knife. I can feel my hand shaking in hers, and I don't know which one of us it is. We get to the steps, and it's halfway up that she first speaks. I feel sick, she says. I know, I say. And we stop, and she leans closer to the waterfall and is sick. A lot. I guess this is what happens when you kill someone in real life. She leans forward, her hair wet and tangled down. She spits, but she don't look up. I couldn't let you, she says. He would have won. I would have done it, I say. I know, she says, into her hair, into the falls. That's why I did it. I let out a breath. You should have let me. No, she looks up from being crouched over. I couldn't let you. She wipes her mouth and coughs again. But it's not just that. What then? I say. She looks into my eyes. Her own are wide, and they're bloodshot from the barfing. And they're older than they used to be. I wanted to, Todd, she says, her forehead creasing. I wanted to do it. I wanted to kill him. She puts her hands to her face. Oh, my God, she breathes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Stop it, I say, taking her arms and pulling her hands away. Stop it. He was evil. He was crazy evil. I know, she shouts. But I keep seeing him. I keep seeing the knife going into his... Yeah, okay, you wanted to. I stop her before she gets worse. So what? So did I. But he made you want to. He made it so it was him or us. That's why he was evil. Not what you did or what I did. What he did, okay? She looks up at me. He did just what he promised, she says, her voice a little quieter. He made me fall. She moans again and clamps her hands over her mouth, her eyes welling up. No, I say strongly. No. See, here's the thing. Here's what I think, okay? I look up to the water and the tunnel, and I don't know what I think. But she's there, and I can see it, and I don't know what she's thinking, but I know what she's thinking. And I can see her, and she's teetering on the edge, and she's looking at me, and she's asking me to save her. Save her like she saved me. Here's what I think, I say, and my voice is stronger, and thoughts are coming, thoughts that trickle into my noise like whispers of the truth. I think maybe everybody falls, I say. I think maybe we all do, and I don't think that's the asking. I pull on her arms gently to make sure she's listening. I think the asking is whether we get back up again. And the water's rushing by, and we're shaking from the cold and everything else. And she stares at me, and I wait, and I hope. And I see her step back from the edge. I see her come back to me. Todd, she says, and it ain't an asking. It's just my name. It's who I am. Come on, I say. Haven's waiting. I take her hand again, and we make our way up the rest of the steps and back to the flatter part of the ledge, following the curves out from the center, steadying ourselves again on the slippery stones. The jump back to the embankment is harder this time, 'cause we're so wet and weak, but I take a running shot at it, and then catch Viola as she comes tumbling after me. And we're in sunlight. We breathe it in for a good long while, getting the wettest of the wet off us before we gather up and climb the little embankment, pushing ourselves through the scrub to the trail and back to the road. We look down the hill, down the zigzag trail,
It's still there. Haven's still there. Last bit, I say. Viola rubs her arms to dry herself a little more. She squints at me, looking close. You get hit in the face a lot. You know that? I bring my fingers up. My eye is starting to swell some, and I notice a gap on the side of my mouth where I lost a few teeth. Thanks, I say. It wasn't hurting till you said that. Sorry. She smiles a little and puts her hand up to the back of her own head and winces. How's yours? I ask.
Sore, she says. But I'll live.
You're indestructible, you, I say.
She smiles again, and then there's a weird zip-snick sound in the air, and Viola lets out a little gasp, a little oh sound. We look at each other for a second, in the sunshine, both of us surprised, but not sure why. Then I follow her glance down her front, and there's blood on her shirt. Her own blood. New blood. Pouring out of a little hole just to the right of her belly button. She touches the blood and holds up her fingers.
Todd?
She says. And then she falls forward. I catch her, stumbling back a bit from the weight, and I look up behind her. Up to the cliff top, right where the road begins. Mr. Prentice Jr. On horseback. Hand outstretched. Holding a pistol.
Todd?
Viola says against my chest.
I think someone shot me, Todd.
There are no words. No words in my head or my noise. Mr. Prentice Jr. kicks his horse and edges him down the road toward us. Pistol still pointed. There's nowhere to run, and I don't got my knife. The world unfolds as clear and as slow as the worst pain. Viola starting to pant heavy against me. Mr. Prentice Jr. riding down the road, and my noise rising with the knowledge that we're finished, that there's no way out this time, that if the world wants you, it's gonna keep on coming till it gets you. And who am I that can fix it? Who am I that can change this if the world wants it so badly? Who am I to stop the end of the world if it keeps on coming?
I think she wants you bad, Todd, Mr. Prentice Jr. sneers.
I clench my teeth. My noise rises red and purple.
I'm Todd effin' Hewitt. That's who I effin' well am. I look him right in the eye, sending my noise straight for him, and I spit out in a rasp, I'll thank you to call me Mr. Hewitt.
Mr. Prentice Jr. flinches, actually flinches a little, and pulls his reins involuntarily, making his horse rear up for a second.
Come on now,
he says. His voice slightly less sure, and he knows we can both hear it.
Hands up, he says. I'm taking you to my father.
And I do the most amazing thing I ever did. I ignore him. I kneel Viola down to the dirt road.
It burns, Todd,
she says, her voice low. I set her down and drop the bag and slip my shirt off my back, crumpling it up and holding it against the bullet hole.
You hold that tight, you hear me?
I say, my anger rising like lava.
This won't take a second.
I look up at Davy Prentice.
Get up,
he says, his horse still jumpy and edgy from the heat coming off me.
I ain't telling you twice, Todd.
I stand. I step forward.
I said put your hands up,
Davy says, his horse whinnying and bluffing and clopping from foot to foot. I march toward him, faster, till I'm running.
I'll shoot you,
Davy shouts, waving the gun, trying to control his horse, which is sending
charge, charge,
all over the place in its noise.
No, you won't,
I yell, running right up to the horse's head and sending a crash of noise right at it.
Snake!
The horse rears up on its back legs.
God damn it, Todd,
Davy yells, wheeling and whirling, trying to control his horse with the one hand that's not holding the pistol. I jump in, slap the horse's front quarters, and jump back. The horse whinnies and rears up again.
You're a dead man!
Davy shouts, going in a full circle with the horse jumping and rearing.
You're half right,
I say, and I'm seeing my chance. The horse neighs loudly and shakes its head back and forth. I wait. Davy pulls on the reins. I dodge. I wait.
"Effing horse!"
Davy shouts. He tries to jerk the reins again. The horse is twisting round one more time. I wait. The horse brings Davy round to me, careening him low in the saddle, and there's my chance. My fist is back and waiting. Boom! I catch him across the face like a hammer falling. I swear I feel his nose break under my fist. He calls out in pain and falls from the saddle, dropping the pistol in the dust. I jump back. Davy's foot catches in the stirrup. The horse rears round again. I smack its hindquarters as hard as I can, and the horse has had enough. It charges back up the hill, back up the road, Davy's foot still caught, making him bounce hard against rocks and dirt as he's dragged fast up the incline. The pistol's in the dust. I move for it.
"Todd?"
I hear, and there's no time. There's no time at all. Without hardly thinking, I leave the pistol, and I run back down to Viola at the edge of the scrub.
"I think I'm dying, Todd,"
she says. "You're not dying," I say, getting an arm under her shoulders and another under her knees.
"I'm cold."
"You're not effing dying," I say. "Not today." And I stand with her in my arms, and I'm at the top of the zigzag that goes down into Haven. And that's not going to be fast enough. I plunge straight down through the scrub. "Come on," I say out loud as my noise forgets itself. And all there is in the universe is my legs moving. "Come on!" I run, through scrub, and across road, through more scrub, across road again as it doubles back, down and down, kicking up clods of earth and jumping over bushes, stumbling over roots. "Come on!"
"Hang on," I say to Viola. "You hang on, you hear me?"
Viola grunts every time we land hard, but that means she's still breathing. Down and down. "Come on! Please." I skid on some bracken, but I do not fall. Road and scrub, my legs aching at the steepness. Scrub and road. Down. "Please.
Todd,
hang on."
I reach the bottom of the hill and I hit it running. She's so light in my arms. So light. I run to where the road rejoins the river, the road into Haven. Trees springing up again all around us, the river rushing on.
"Hang on,"
I say again, running down the road fast as my feet will carry me. "Come on, please." Round curves and corners, under trees and by the riverbank. Up ahead I see the battlement I spotted with the binocs from the hill above. Huge wooden X's piled up in a long row out to either side with an opening across the road.
"Help!"
I'm shouting as we come to it.
"Help us!"
I run. "Come on."
"I don't think I can,"
Viola says, her voice breathless.
"Yes, you can,"
I shout.
"Don't you dare give up."
I run. The battlement's coming, but there's no one. There's no one there. I run through the opening on the road and to the other side. I stop long enough to take a turn around. There's no one.
"Todd?"
"We're almost there," I say.
"I'm losing it, Todd."
And her head rolls back.
"No, you're not,"
I shout at her face.
"You wake up, Viola Ede! You keep your ruddy eyes open!"
And she tries. I see her try. And her eyes open. Only a little, but open. And I run again as fast as I can. And I'm shouting, "Help!" as I go.
"Help!
Please!
Help!"
And her breath is starting to gasp.
"Help us!"
"Please, no. And I'm not seeing no one. The houses I pass are shut up and empty. The road turns from dirt to paved, and still no one out and about.
Help!"
My feet slam against the pavement. The road is leading to the big church up ahead, a clearing of the trees, the steeple shining down onto a town square in front of it. And no one's there, neither.
"No."
"Help!"
I race onto the square, crossing it, looking all around, listening out. "No. No. It's empty. Viola's breathing heavy in my arms, and Haven is empty. I reach the middle of the square. I don't see nor hear a soul. I spin around again.
"Help!"
I cry. But there's no one. Haven is completely empty. There ain't no hope here at all. Viola slips a little from my grasp, and I have to kneel to catch her. My shirt is dropped from her wound, and I use one hand to hold it in place. There ain't nothing left. The bag, the Binox, my ma's book, I'm realizing it's all left up on the hillside. Me and Viola are all we got. Everything we have in the world. She's bleeding so much.
Todd,
she says, her voice low and slurring.
Please,
I say, my eyes welling, my voice cracking.
Please!
Please, 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 please. Well, since you asked so nicely. Comes a voice across the square, hardly even raising itself to a shout. I look up. Coming around the side of the church is a single horse, with a single rider.
No,
I whisper. No.
No.
Yes, Todd, says Mayor Prentice. I'm afraid so. He rides his horse almost lazily across the square toward me. He looks as cool and unruffled as ever, no sweat marking his clothes, even wearing riding gloves, even clean boots.
This ain't possible. This ain't possible at all.
How can you be here? I say, my voice rising.
How?
Even a simpleton knows there's two roads to Haven, he says, his voice calm and silky, almost smirking, but not quite. The dust we saw. The dust we saw moving toward Haven yesterday.
But how?
I say, so stunned I can barely get the words out.
The army's a day away, at least.
Sometimes the rumor of an army is just as effective as the army itself, my boy, he says. The terms of surrender were most favorable, one of which was clear in the streets so I could welcome you here myself. He looks back up toward the falls, though I was, of course, expecting my son to bring you. I look around the square, and now I can see faces, faces peering out of windows, out of doors. I can see four more men on horseback coming around the church. I look back at Mayor Prentice.
Oh, it's President Prentice now, he says. You'll do well to remember that.
And then I realize I can't hear his noise. I can't hear anyone's.
No, he says. I imagine you can't, though that's an interesting story and not what you might...
Viola slips a little more from my hands, the shift of it making her give a pained gasp.
Please, I say, save her. I'll do anything you say. I'll join the army.
All good things to those who wait, the mayor says, finally looking a little annoyed.
He dismounts in one easy movement and starts taking off his gloves one finger at a time. And I know we've lost. Everything is lost. Everything is over.
As the newly appointed president of this fair planet of ours, the mayor says, holding out his hand as if to show me the world for the first time, let me be the very first to welcome you to its new capital city.
Todd,
Viola whispers, her eyes closed. I hold her tightly to me.
I'm sorry,
I whisper to her.
I'm so sorry.
We've run right into a trap. We've run right off the end of the world.
Welcome, says the mayor, to New Prentice Town.
End of Book One. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Knife of Never Letting Go by Patrick Ness. Copyright 2008 by Patrick Ness. Original book published by Candlewick Press. Performed by Nick Podell. Directed by Laura Grafton. Engineered by Matt DeCoster. Performance copyright 2009 by Brilliance Audio, all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Candlewick on Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.